Shark Bagley.
Shark Bagley.
Shark Bagley. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Shack Bagley, all things loose and disorderly, with me, Katie Johnson, and my good friend Howard Middleton from the Great British Bake Off. And apologies for my cold, think I overdid the hugging of late. We're on episode 81, which happens to be the number of squares on a board for playing shogi, or shogi, the Japanese form of chess. Percentage of people who would like to go on a moon shuttle, and the furthest cowpat toss, as registered by the Guinness World Records. I'm not sure if he was aiming at anyone in particular, but Steve Erner from California threw 81.1 metres, or 266 feet, at the Mountain Festival in the States on the 14th of August 1981. It's been a sad week with the passing of our much-loved Queen Elizabeth. As a nation, it has hit us hard, such was the love for our incredible monarch. After much deliberation, Ludlow Food Festival did go ahead, but no music was played on the Friday as a mark of respect. The castle flag was flown at half-mast, there was a book of condolence, and the minute silence was extremely moving. All you could hear were the distant bells of St. Lawrence's Church. Made me cry. It was our dear Queen that Howard and I began our conversation. Had he ever met her, or perhaps seen her at an event?
I did. Do you know, I was trying to think the other day when that would be. It was in Manchester. She and Prince Philip did a visit to Manchester, and it was outside the town hall. And it must have been in the very early 80s, because that was when I would have been kind of at uni or polytechnic as it was there. Mm. And I just remember her. I just remember being so close, just incredibly close to her. And it was at the time when, I think at that time, she still coloured her hair. So it was called Chocolate Kiss. I looked it up afterwards, what colour hair colour she had. Because she came past so close. And I remember seeing her hair and thinking, oh, that's very evenly coloured. And then the next minute she's whisked away, and then Prince Philip was walking past. But yeah, she's really, really close. But I didn't say hello or I like your hair colour or anything like that.
So she didn't turn around and say, do you know it's Chocolate Kiss? Yeah.
No.
I was reminiscing. I've said before, haven't I? I was very fortunate in my previous life to have done several royal visits where we've covered them for the radio.
Yes.
And yeah. I covered, I think it was three with Her Majesty, and one. So this is going back, it's probably early 2000s. So it'll be 20 years ago, won't it be? So
yes.
It's like gold. Yeah. So it's golden anniversary. And she did, her and Prince Philip did a tour of the country, and she came to Herefordshire and Worcestershire. So we covered the Worcestershire one, and then we were covering the Herefordshire one. And I think there was at least two visits that day. Now, when you cover a royal visit, you have to go through all the protocol. Oh, and I understand you've got to tick boxes. Everybody needs to know who's going, who's representing the organisation. It was the local BBC radio at the time. And we had to be in places certain times, all this. So we'd already done, I think it was at least two. I'm wondering if it was three now, but we'd already done, say, one or two visits with her that day. And she was going to a high school. I think that was the last visit. And I don't know why, whether it was the traffic or whatever, but we got there and we were a little bit behind. And I remember going into this high school, and all the youngsters had stayed in the assembly room or something to greet Her Majesty. And I was going to be to their end, so after where she had gone on her way out.
Yeah.
And I remember to this day, I went to the wrong place, H. Not the wrong school, but I was in the wrong place in this school. And of course, you have in your earphone, are you ready, Katie? Coming live, da-da-da, or tell us what's happening. And I remember going, well, there's nothing happening because I can't see anybody. I was on my own. There was another team at the beginning, and I had gone into the school. And I remember thinking, well, I'm in the wrong place. There's nobody here. So, because all the youngsters were gathered, I guess that's why I was able to move as freely as I did.
Yeah.
So I remember hot-footing it through this, was it corridor I was in? I don't know. I remember seeing a vending machine, and I remember steps. So this is where I'm going. And so I'm coming down these steps. I can see the vending machine directly across the way. So this is obviously a corridor leading from somewhere going somewhere.
Yeah.
I came hurtling down these steps, H, without a word of a lie. I just suddenly drew myself to a halt because to the right, just in front of me, was Her Majesty the Queen. I remember going, "Oh my, I'm so sorry," because you're not supposed to speak to them when they're royal, and you're not allowed to have a microphone. If you do, you've got to turn it off. And I remember instinctively going, "Oh my, I'm sorry." Then I realised I was talking out loud, so then I go, "I'm sorry," like this. And because I suppose there was no, it was just a corridor, and there was nobody there.
Yeah.
The security men weren't in front of her, everybody was behind her, which never happened. You don't see that side.
No,
But because I
yeah.
think it was so quiet, I guess protocols suggest that you don't walk in front of Her Majesty. And so I was there, and and she just beamed a beautiful smile and sort of a don't worry type thing. And I'll never forget that. It was amazing. Yeah, amazing.
She must have come up against sort of occasions like that previously where people are just in the wrong place at the wrong time and then really are. And just to put somebody at their ease and make them feel it's not a big problem.
I
Oh,
remember this
lovely.
smile, and I can only think it's because we were covering it all that day that they didn't think I was a threat. Because when you think about it, I was so close to her. I mean, it was
Yeah.
it I could have
I
reached
don't think you
out.
look like a threat in any case, I think.
Thank you. It's one of the nicest things you've ever said, I think. But
Did you offer to get her something from the vending machine?
I just remember feeling so embarrassed, thinking I've just nearly bumped into Her Majesty the Queen. Yeah, what a lovely smile and those eyes, and she just made you feel, well, it didn't feel as if she was the most recognised woman in the world. We knew who she was, but it didn't feel that at all, just
No,
a
no.
warm human being. So
Yeah.
yeah,
Oh.
but look at the telly. Have you been watching much of the coverage?
Goodness me, I got really frustrated yesterday with Peter because I'd got stuff to do and I wanted to watch the kind of news coverage of the. But I mean, it's very sad, but obviously there's a historical element to it that you want to see what happens. And it was the. Not a parade, is it really?
The
Procession,
procession.
from Buckingham Palace to Westminster Hall, and it was on the news. And I'd got something to do, and Peter said, "I'm going to record this so that we can watch it later." And I said, "Oh, that would be nice. You know, we can sit and watch it together." And came in, and I'm cooking dinner, and he said, "Have you watched much of the coverage?" I said, "No, I've been waiting for you to come back so we can watch it together." At which point he then puts it on and watches it himself whilst I'm finishing
Oh.
off. Yes, I thought, and I'm banging things around in the kitchen, just sort of. I'm really frustrated because I thought we were going to be watching this together, and it's like you've just decided to watch it on your own.
And I
Yeah.
bet he didn't even notice that noise coming from the
No, he
kitchen.
didn't. Not at all.
But I tell you what, the world will be watching our pageantry. Nobody does it better. And also,
Oh
the
no.
other thing they'll be watching, how we queue.
Yeah. Oh, can you imagine? You know, when the people who've got little chairs and tents and everything just waiting patiently for that moment,
Yeah.
right down the side, the edge of the Thames, it's incredible.
So, no, the world will be seeing how orderly we are and how patient we are when it comes to queuing. And I also think, I was thinking about this, because you and I have known no other, have we, other than Her Majesty,
No,
dear Queen.
no.
And it's something that you can share with your mum, you can share with your nieces.
Yeah.
Generations, isn't it? I think
Yeah.
we can all share it, because none of us, I suspect the older generation, but when you think she's been with us 70 years, that's most of their life anyway, isn't it? So we're all feeling
it. It's strange. Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Because it's similar to me. I know we're getting a bit deep here, but you know, with COVID, how that was something that we never ever thought would actually happen. I remember at the beginning of it, you heard about this thing that was in China, and you think, oh dear, you know, but it'll never happen here. And then suddenly, within a matter of weeks or months, we've got streets absolutely deserted and not able to go out. And it felt a little bit like that with the Queen actually seeing the news and it saying King Charles III and things like that. It's almost like a kind of movie. For that to be reality is really, really hard to comprehend.
Because we just, because she spoke to us, didn't she, when it was COVID? She spoke to us every time we needed a little bit of support.
Yeah.
She spoke to us, and now it's gone. Yeah.
I know. And they've warned people about, please, as a tribute, do not leave marmalade sandwiches around, because it does interfere with the wildlife.
I know.
So people had been wanting to leave a little marmalade sandwich in honour of that little video that she did with Paddington.
Which wasn't that long ago, was it? It was only...
No, not
at all. We have had some messages regards. So Kim says, sending you all my deepest condolences and prayers. God bless your Queen and may she rest in peace. Loreen, she was an amazing lady. So sad she's passed away. She set such a good example for the world. Amy says, we're so sorry for the entire UK, especially you two. I pray the transition will be as smooth as possible, especially you now transitioning to a new PM. Mama Scrubs says, from those of us in the States, we're thinking and praying for all of you in this immense loss. She was the model of grace and dignity, showing strength and kindness throughout so much. What a legacy she has left. Hear, hear. And Jane says, I'm from Arizona, but I've lived abroad and been in the UK many times. We all knew the Queen was older. We knew we would lose her one day. But now this day has come, I am heartbroken and bereft that we've lost a profound connection to grace and kindness in the world. I pray we can embody who she was. Imagine if we all acted with such kindness and elegance, we are less without her. Absolutely beautiful, Jane. I love that. So thank you. But you're right, isn't it? If we could all emulate that dignity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, with that in mind, with regard to her late Majesty, chocolate, because we hear about what food she likes, and I know you're doing something about tiffin, aren't you, that was one of her favourites.
Yes. It's a sort of chocolate biscuit cake. Oh, it's ever so rich. Oh, gosh. Oh. Obviously, you develop a recipe and then you taste in it. And because it's a class that I'm doing, I suppose in the royal household, they might, I have to say this, deep breath, they might actually buy a packet of biscuits in order to put the biscuit layer in the tiffin. But I'm baking rich tea biscuits, so it's going to be baked rich tea biscuits, and we've got chocolate that's mixed with butter and a little bit of golden syrup, and you can add to that cherries or raisins or nuts or whatever. I think the Queen actually had it plain. Don't think she had anything in there. And then a layer of chocolate ganache. But apparently this is one of the things that when the household made it, or when the chef made it, they would keep bringing it out for a few days and until it was gone, which seems a bit strange to me, because if it's something you really like, you'd think the Queen would have been able to say, can I just have that every day, please, rather than when you feel like making it.
Yeah, but you don't know how much they made. I suspect it was quite a lot, wouldn't it? It's like you on demos when you put two things in the oven and you say, and if you're doing this at home, do feel free to fill the tray. It'll be a bit like that, I imagine, not just do a little bit. I also came across the chef to the Queen of over 15 years. He said her favourite was also the Queen's chocolate perfection pie, something I'd never heard of. Have you?
Is that not the same thing? Or is this a different chocolate perfection pie? Mm. What's that?
Well, the chef who was royal chef to Queen Elizabeth II for, I think it was about 15 years, it was he that came up with this one. For the pastry, 1 1/4 cups all-purpose flour. When it says all-purpose flour, is that plain flour, H?
It is, yes. Right. So it's what in the USA they call Plain flour, yeah.
Ah. A quarter of a cup of vanilla sugar. It says blitz sugar with a vanilla bean. So that's doing it yourself, isn't it? That's just not buying anything with. That's the problem,
No.
thinking. Half a cup of unsalted butter cut into small pieces. One large egg yolk. 2 tablespoons of heavy cream. Which tickles me. Heavy cream.
We've put that down. It's so heavy.
For the filling, 2 large eggs, half a teaspoon of cinnamon, half a cup of sugar, a half a teaspoon of white wine vinegar, a quarter of a teaspoon of salt, 6 ounces of quality semi-sweet chocolate bars, half a cup of water, 2 large egg yolks, 1 cup of heavy cream, there it is again, half a teaspoon of cinnamon, 2 ounces of white chocolate grated, and 2 ounces of dark chocolate grated. Yeah, that's not tiffin, is it?
No, that sounds to me like a sort of chocolate mousse type thing within a pastry crust, so like a chocolate tart or something, but or pie, yeah. So she did like chocolate then,
She
by the
loved
sounds of
she was a
it, yeah.
chocoholic apparently. Yeah, so and you cook it for about 1 hour and 40, but it does, it looks very rich. So I'm suspecting it's more than a few calories, but hey. Yeah, so chocolate. So your class is on Saturday, isn't it? You're doing. So if anybody
Yes, it
wants to
is,
get
yeah.
involved in that, then please do. I'll give you the details after the podcast. So away from our sad loss, but we'll remember her forever. What have you got for us this week, H?
Do you remember us being at Ludlow?
Yes, last week, lovely. This time last
Yes,
week.
and we had a lovely meal, didn't we, together? And we were chatting to Terry and Anthea, weren't we? And the following morning, I had breakfast again with Terry and Anthea and learned even more about how they met and what happens if you forget to take something with you when you go anywhere,
Just to
like a
say,
shaving kit.
Terry is a gardener on Radio 2, isn't he? BBC Radio 2,
Is,
and Anthea's
yeah,
his
fascinating. Yeah.
good lady wife. Yeah, so
Yeah.
breakfast.
And she was talking about favorite recipes, and she said one of her favorite recipes was a cookery card by Marguerite Patton. And then, because she talks quite quickly, and it was quite early in the morning, and I couldn't remember what this recipe was. And then it suddenly hit me that it was Marguerite Patton's fatless sponge. That's what she was talking about. So I was having a look for Marguerite Patton's fatless sponge and came across somebody who called it Marguerite Patton's fatless, purposeless sponge, which I know, which is rather derogatory, isn't it? But apparently Marguerite Patton's been in the news again this week, actually, or last week. Judith Patton, who is her daughter, responded to an article that was, I think, in the Guardian. So they've been looking at kind of money-saving tips, obviously, cost of living crisis and, you know, how to save money with food in difficult times. And they'd looked at microwaving more stuff than turning on the oven and cooking it. And Judith Patton, Marguerite Patton's daughter, said that apparently Marguerite was a champion of eating cheaply and well, and an enthusiastic user of microwaves. So she started off suggesting that in order to save money, people used pressure cookers. And she did a book. It says here, The Basic Basics Pressure Cooker Cookbook. That's a tight name for a book. Basic Basics Pressure Cooker Cookbook. It's like,
Feels like it should be start of a limerick.
yeah, but she.
What's up? What's the matter?
Oh, you've gone all frozen. You've gone all frozen. Oh, I'll have to take a photo. Oh no, you've come back again. I was going to take a photo
No,
of how you look
no,
like.
no, because I
Oh
look
dear.
rough as it is. I don't want to be frozen and rough.
Oh bless. But Julie says, how delighted my mother, the cookery writer Marguerite Patton, would have been to read your article. Cheap heats, microwave cooking tips to save you time and money. Eating cheaply and well were both important to her, and her long history as a home economist confirmed this, not just during the rationing period of the Second World War and post-war years, but for decades afterwards in her 170 plus books. So that's a subtle way Judith's got in there that her mother wrote 170 cookbooks. But yes, I having read that, it then set me off trying to get a copy of one of Marguerite Patton's
All right.
original cookbooks, and I've not managed to do it yet. But I loved this one from 1972, which is Marguerite Patton's step-by-step guide to easy icing. I don't know whether you can see it, but there's a little girl with a
Oh,
cake,
yeah.
and she looks absolutely like she's so not
Miserable.
impressed
Yes.
with it, doesn't she?
I know.
It's like, it's pink. I didn't want pink. Yeah,
I see that
she.
as she's been told that do go up to that cake. Now, either they've told her that it's not a real cake or she's not allowed to have any of it. And the fact they've taken a
Yeah.
picture and she still looks miserable, that tells you that there's been worse ones than that being taken.
Oh
Bless
yeah,
her.
absolutely. I mean, they're searching through. Well, which is the best shot we've got for the cover of this book? I'm afraid it's this one. But I it was interesting as well that reading into the background of Marguerite Patton, she was obviously one of the celebrity chefs of the kind of 1950s and 60s, and we've talked about Philip Harbin and Fanny and Johnny Craddock and people like that before. But there was a flower manufacturer called Friendlight, which I must admit I'd never heard of, Friendlight. But they saw the possibility of combining cookery demonstrations with variety acts. So,
Oh,
yes! So they used to have put on the.
That's
And
what we need
I
to
thought.
do.
Exactly. I was thinking, let's do
Do
this, you and
that.
I.
What would you
What?
do, though? What should
Well,
we
I
do?
don't know. It said Marguerite was soon baking sponges and whisking meringue to the musical accompaniment of Giraldo and his show band. And they'd got Cyril Fletcher and the warbled tunes of the husband and wife act, Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson. Yeah, so
So while she's
they're.
cooking,
While she's cooking, they've got people singing. Just while this is in the oven, let's have a song from Pearl and Teddy. Yeah.
we should do that because we did talk about doing a
Yeah.
stage show, didn't we?
Yeah,
Eh?
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's
Yeah.
it then. That's the
Oh.
way forward. Oh, I like that. Now then, talking about books and H, I've come across Quick Dishes for the Woman in a Hurry. It's an American book. It's by the Culinary Arts Institute. It's the Staff Home Economists. And I just want you to see this front picture because it is. Now, bear in mind, it's for the woman in a hurry. Look at that. Look how she's dressed, H. So, she's. Is that a daytime outfit or a nighttime outfit that she's flung a penny on over?
I don't know what that is. That looks to me like she's off somewhere to a garden party. She could, I mean, it's awful, but she could be going to a funeral as well. But she's obviously getting a casserole in the oven
Yeah.
before she does what. Oh, look at her
I know
shoes.
the height of
Oh,
those
there.
heels.
Wow,
I know. I
fabulous.
wouldn't be doing that. You could
Yeah.
aerate your lawn with those, couldn't you, I suppose, if you needed to. And
Absolutely.
that
Yeah.
very posh hat, but that is the front cover, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
It is from 1955. And it says here, Quick Dishes. This cookbook has been written for the working woman, busy with career and apartment, so obviously very American. The homemaker whose day is filled with community, with club, home, and family activities. The hostess whose guests sometimes arrive without notice. 332 recipes, any of which can be prepared in 30 minutes or less. This is ahead of its time, isn't
It
it?
is, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. But
1955.
if there are recipes that can if there are recipes that can be prepared in 30 minutes or less, it's not going to give her very long. She's going to have to be really quick to do.
But hold that thought, because I've just said these could be done in
Yeah.
30 minutes or less. I thought I'm going to have to go to the vegetable section. Bearing in mind, this is kind of where pasta and vegetables started Shac Bagley off. How long?
Exactly.
Yeah. Wash fresh vegetables, but do not soak them in water for any length of time. If they are wilted, put them in cold water for a few minutes. Cauliflower, broccoli, artichokes, and Brussels sprouts must be, now what she's just said, must be soaked 20 to 30 minutes in salted water before they are cooked. So,
What for?
well, it's just,
What for?
well, I can tell you what it says here: to remove small insects and dust which settle in them. Why don't you just wash them? I don't understand. But the bearing in mind, she says at the beginning, do not soak them in water for any length of time. That's what she said, didn't she? Yeah. And she's also said meals will be ready in 30 minutes or less. And then in the next line, cauliflower, broccoli, artichokes, sprouts must be soaked 20 to 30 minutes before they are cooked. Eh, lords,
Oh,
dear.
somebody's standing there with a stopwatch, and they're obviously not starting it until after she's soaked a cauliflower. But that's cheating.
But why would you, and why would you, in salted water as well? Because surely is that going to start cooking, or I don't know, because if you put salt
Don't
in
know.
something.
Again, I think it's one of those things where at one time people used to worry, didn't they? I mean, we worry nowadays. It's like biological washing powder is there to get rid of all those things that you didn't even know were in there in the first place. But yeah, so the fact that I've never ever come across a dusty Brussels sprout or anything like that to get rid of dust. Maybe it's a polite way of saying soil or something,
I don't
but
know, but then insects. I mean, I can't
yeah.
understand one minute in water is going to do them a mischief rinsing them, isn't it? Just as much as 30 minutes in.
I would have
Anyway.
thought so, yeah.
And then part of an horse's doofer, or hors d'oeuvres, as we like to call them, they've got cheese popcorn. I've never come across cheese popcorn, have you?
Cheese popcorn, it sounds wonderful. I love the idea of cheese popcorn.
Very easy, and this obviously can be served for your guests. I wonder if she takes her hat off when she gets back in, but there we are. Sprinkle half a cup of grated cheese and salt over 1 quart of hot popped corn, and that's it.
Oh, right. So
Oh, where were you thinking that was going?
I thought there was something special that you were doing with that. I mean, basically, you could make popcorn any flavour by just chucking something else over the top of it, can't you? That's, yeah.
Oh. Paracetamols.
They phone in you.
No, it's my timer to take my
All
paracetamols. Yeah.
right. It's all right. I've just got a missed call from paracetamols.
Thinking about food and things, something you didn't touch on when you said about having an evening meal with Terry and Anthea and breakfast as well, is that you had your first sip of alcohol in, was it 6 weeks or something?
Oh, I did. Yes. We had a bottle between us, didn't we? Which is slightly excessive, but very welcome.
It was only a small bottle.
I don't know whether it's just Ludlow or generally how people kind of ply you then with alcohol. First of all, I get a little complimentary bag of alcohol. And then Digger turned up, didn't he, with wine as well. So it's,
Oh yes, it was our first fan
yeah.
moment, wasn't it? We've never had a fan moment before. He's a listener in Herefordshire and came and gave us a little bottle, so it was lovely. Thank you very much indeed. So our first fan moment, but we did have another listener because we put our hands up, didn't we, H, in the audience of how many people listened to Shat Bagley, and there was one, and it wasn't Digger, so we knew we had two listeners whilst we were there.
We did, but they didn't bring us anything, did they? Which was a shame. But I was slightly worried that I didn't know whether we ought to officially declare our gift from Digger, whether you have to well basically declare hospitality. But you said not.
I think we'll be all right. And then you travelled home to Sheffield. I have to say, I did miss Peter and I missed your mum. Is everybody all right that end?
Yeah, they're good, thank you. I mean, my mum has obviously been watching a lot of the coverage of the lead up to the funeral and so on. And what was that event that where the king is kind of sworn in or whatever it's called?
I
Not
think
sure
it's
what that's called.
probably swearing in of the Queen because he's not his coronation won't be till next year, I shouldn't think now.
No, but my mum did say, because obviously they've got all the kind of dignitaries and the past prime ministers and so on. And she phoned me up. She said, "Did you see John Major?" So she says, "Oh, hasn't he aged?" She said, "I wouldn't have recognised him if he sat at the side of me." So I said to my mum, "Well, has he ever sat at the side of you before?" She says, "No, but looking at him now, I wouldn't know if he had."
And we've been talking about Ludlow. this is what happened.
I'm going to do a couple of puddings. Ooh. So I'm going to do a kind of classic-ish treacle sponge, and I'm going to do a caramelised apple pudding as well. Should we have an audience participation? Would you say roughly that's about 75 millilitre? Yeah, yes, that's all right. I love this, yes. Don't you?
That means you could do the rest of the demo blindfolded.
That's about...
And then the audience would just shout out instructions.
That looks like pancake batter now. I don't think it was supposed to be quite as wet as that. Have I got everything in there? Oh, no. Anyway, let's put some other stuff in there. Put a little bit of grated lemon zest. And what the grated lemon zest will do is it will hopefully absorb some of the liquid.
Which one are you working on?
That's the trouble, because I've got two recipes and I'm not entirely sure whether I've swapped between one to the other. I'm supposed to be working on this
one.
Oh,
I see, right.
Look at this. This doesn't look right at all, does it? I don't know what I've done there. So what I could do with now, just for the sake of... For the sake of something decency, no. let's just have audience participation about finishing the end of my sentence. For the sake of.
No, we've had decency. No, it's not decency. Sanity. I don't know what it is.
For the sake of
sanity.
No.
Oh.
The word I was looking for was transportability. Right. For the sake of transportability, it might be better if I pop these on a little baking tray in order to get them into the oven. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what I've done here at all. Really?
Did you practice these recipes before you came?
Yes, I've actually done these as online classes.
Oh.
Can you believe it? I know. Compared with how other people are, sometimes I can come across quite professional. I did a lemon drizzle cake, a lemon double drizzle cake, and a lovely couple who live at altitude said they'd never managed to do a lemon drizzle cake before. They even tried Mary Berry's, right? But I did them a special version of it where I tried to work out what you'd need to do to bake it at altitude. Absolutely perfect. So I can't believe it either.
Do you know, I'm thinking then, maybe you're going about this the whole wrong way. Maybe we should say Howard Middleton is an expert at baking at altitude.
Yeah, this is it.
And therefore, this is why this is runnier.
Yeah.
This is... Because if you were tens of thousands above sea level, it would have been absolutely perfect.
So I can say, if it's not worked, that it was just... Ludlow's too low.
Yes.
Basically. Get it moved up a bit for next year. It'll be fine.
Has anybody seen this man in action before? Did you
hear
that?
Yes. I'm thinking. Why, oh why?
I feel it's my duty, though, H, to get you back again in the year just to see if it's got any better. Do you know what I mean?
We do with this. I know, but it doesn't, does it? It doesn't get any better.
No.
No. It probably gets worse. Oh, you are lovely. You're all lovely, aren't you? I've got everybody helping me with this. I can't believe it. So I'm now going to stand over this and look as if I'm doing something really, really chefy and important. As I'm... What can I do now?
Well, maybe ask the audience some questions.
Right. What can I do now?
At this stage, I do find myself saying, how you didn't win Bake Off, I will never know.
So what we're going to do is we're going to tip out... Ah, sponges, aren't we?
Do you want us to look away when you do this bit?
Well, I don't think they're going to come out, do you?
Of course, if they do, it's a rapturous applause. will be echoed throughout the whole castle if they do come out.
If they do come out.
So that rapturous applause when they come out, it'll...
Do you know what I might do? I might run a little nigh.
Listen to the audience, H.
Oh, aren't you lovely? All these suggestions. So, in fact, I think what they're going to do is actually have a survey to pass round about how Howard's demos could be improved for next year. There we go. So what you find with these is they tend to have a bit of a wobbly bottom. So what you can do is level that off if you wish. The other thing you can do is pour some more golden syrup over the
top.
Why
don't you just turn it upside down?
Or you could just turn it upside down. Okay.
Hang on, which way is better? Oh, that's all right. You could do two at the same time.
Two at the same time.
Go.
Do you want to break?
Go on. Yeah. So, how do you think it's gone then, H?
I thought it went all right. I thought as demos go, it's not the worst one I've done. It's probably not the best one I've done.
But you see, now my question has to be to the audience.
Yeah.
Maybe look away. Do we get him back next year just to see if it's got better again? Yeah? Oh, you're coming back next year.
Yeah, but they're not.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Howard Middleton.
Thank you.
So thank you to Ludlow Food Festival, and as they say, that's a wrap. I mentioned Howard's bake class on Saturday. He's doing tiffin. It's totally free. You just need to sign up via Bake with a Legend. And not to be confused with chocolate perfection pie. She loved her chocolate, did our queen, and other things that you may not have known. So for instance, we knew about all the swans in the UK were hers, but also she used to own all the dolphins too in UK waters. She was fluent in French, never ate a pizza. Her first dog was called Susan, and her first horse Peggy. And there was only one day a year the queen didn't do her own makeup, and that was for her annual Christmas message broadcast. And June mentioned John Major. Well, for those outside of the UK, he is a British former politician who served as Prime Minister and leader of the Conservative Party from 1990 to 1997. So that's it for another week. Thank you for listening and see you next time. Oh, there's the phone. Hang on. It was Ludlow. Mm-hmm. We want Howard again next year. Uh-huh. Could we perhaps have a musical accompaniment at the same time, do you think?